So, episode 2.
We're back.
We are.
Did you guys miss us?
I would hope so, yeah.
I'm hoping we're going to get more and more into it. I'm feeling more confident. Like, as we came to a finish on the first.
Yeah, I was.
It brings a lot of confidence. And the thing is, I don't know why you overthink it, because literally, as we said, every single night we talk.
Yeah, well,
and that's, it's literally the same thing. Obviously, we watch ourselves a little bit more being in here.
Yeah.
But
more or less.
We'll see how it goes if we keep on that way. We'll see. But yeah, how have you been since we last spoke?
Yeah, I've been good. Went for my smoke. Had a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just yeah, I mean, look, the first episode was interesting.
It was interesting. Obviously, I didn't get too much into the lash industry, but...
Yeah, but we got so much time to do that. It's...
Yeah. I think that's on the screen. Well, obviously, we didn't get too much into the lash industry, but yeah, that's something that's going to keep coming up. And I don't want to bore you guys. And I want to make sure that you get everything in the correct timings and about each topic. And because that is based primarily on my mental health... Once we get into that, we're going to go from there. But I think today what we're going to talk about is our relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a...
How we became Jazz and Seb.
Or Seb and Jazz.
Jazz and Seb, alphabetically.
Man goes first.
Huh?
The male is first.
All right.
Oh, I'm just saying, man, that's how they did it back in...
No, you're right. Back in Romania.
Back in my day.
Back in your day.
Yeah.
I was going to say something.
Go on.
No, I can't.
It's a safe space.
It's not a safe space anymore. Yeah, it's not a safe space anymore, babes.
No. But for our listeners and for our viewers, it is a safe space.
Yeah, 100%.
Just not for whatever fucked up shit came up in your mind. But
no, you don't want to know.
Yeah. But yeah, it's our relationship. So should we tell them how we met?
Well, we don't really tell many people. Usually we say we met at a bar or a pub.
Yeah. Which technically we did.
Technically we did. But...
But let's be honest.
Do I tell like the real... Do I tell the actual story? Like, do I give the long-winded...
No. Just the short and sweet. That's how we met.
So it all started on a day of my lash course. My first lash course. It literally did. So I was in uni.
I thought I asked for the short version. But that's fine.
No, because they deserve to know. Because it's the drama, it's the tea, it's giving.
She loves you too much.
I do. But... Yeah, so it was the day of my lash course, and it was 2 days after I got broken up with. It was either 2 days or 3 days, whatever. And I was like, I know he's on Tinder. So me and the girls hopped around. I'm there, you know, trying to find said person. And then see a cute guy, and I'm like, just swiped on him. And then... He slid in literally, I think, straight away. You were messaging me because we were talking.
3 days.
Yeah?
No.
I thought we were talking. Yeah, you're joking with me.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
I'm fucking with you.
But yeah, like, you literally instantly, I'm pretty certain within the first 10 minutes. And take in mind, I was going to do my theory at this point. Like, I was there, meant to be listening to the trainer.
I was fucking desperate. But
oh, you was, babes. Like, what was your chat up line? Do you want to say?
No. That's my secret weapon, just in case I ever need to use it again.
You don't want to say. Should I say it?
No,
you're not going to use it again. What do you mean? You won't even be able to use it.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how to talk to women. To be fair.
You don't know how to talk to women anyway.
Yes,
that's
but I did say to you that you look like my second girlfriend, even though I've only ever had one. Listen, it did a job. I can't.
It
you know.
Did kinda.
Yeah, kinda. It was funny.
But before I jump ahead, at that time, I was bored. I was entertaining the conversation. If I'm being honest, we all know it. Yeah, like, we've all been there. Like, I just got out of a relationship that, in theory, I didn't want first.
Okay.
Shut up. In theory, the guy wanted it first, I didn't want. We finally get together, he breaks up with me, he's on Tinder the next day or so, probably was on before he even broke up with me.
Officially.
I then talk to you, and I'm like, I'm not really in the headspace of
he's
like...
Boring.
No, not at all. Because you were trying. You were really trying, and I was giving you such blunt replies.
Yeah, you were fucking...
I was being very blunt. I was being very, like...
Do you know how hard it is to carry a conversation with it?
It's really difficult. unless I'm giving into the conversation, I just don't. I don't know why people put too much effort into it anyways. But
what do you mean, why? Just because you found a nice man.
Yeah, true.
Doesn't mean other people have.
True, but yeah, so we were talking back and forth, and then let's skip forward to Ascot, because that's obviously...
Yeah, and that was probably, I'll say about a month and a half, 2 months later.
Around that, because we were still talking every day.
We started talking on, what, 20th of May, I think it was, because that's when
something like that,
was.
Yeah.
And then Ascot was like, what? June, end of June, July,
one of them. Who knows? We ain't gonna fact check around here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I went to Ascot. I got very merry, very merry. Then went to my local, and then started messaging you. And you had just been to a boys' weekend.
Yeah, I think it was Brighton.
Yeah, you went to Brighton. Yeah, you said because you were saying that you hadn't been before. It. Yeah, you hated Brighton because you're boring. You just don't like going out. Just admit it.
Yeah,
you don't like
going
out.
Back then, I did like going out a bit more.
Yeah, but it's because everyone was just like not the right crowd for you.
No.
Basically. Yeah, it wasn't your crowd of people, and that's why you were so uncomfortable in it.
Hmm.
But like you realise that now, obviously.
Well, yeah, now I'm older and wiser.
Older and wiser, definitely older.
That's not very nice.
Anyways, you had a night out in Brighton. You just drove back that morning. I'm pretty certain, or afternoon. Yeah. And then I was like, come join us. And I didn't think he'd actually join us. You know, girls, we typically message these guys sometimes and we're like, yeah, I'm here. Like, come see me. Sometimes they come.
But then here's when I take things too literal. And then I just.
Yes.
Actually, yeah, it did come out.
He is a very literal person, which works kind of well for me. And especially as a woman, because we never say what we want directly.
Yeah. How do you think that feels for me?
You should know.
Well, not really, because when you're a literal person.
But at that age, though, like, I wasn't as in tune of just saying what I want with my chest. No one did. When you're flirting and you're dating when you're young, you don't really say it confidently.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of expected me to have this, like, what was it, a crystal ball?
Yeah, or is it a globe?
It's a crystal globe.
He calls them globes. Are they called, what do I call, ornaments? What do I call them?
I'd call them Christmas globes, but sure.
But I call them, what else do I call
them? You call
them? Baubles. Baubles. This is the debate. We've had it for years. Globes or baubles? I've never once heard.
A globe.
It's a bauble.
No, it's a globe.
It's
and
a bauble,
it's
it goes
Christmas
on the tree.
Themed, which makes it a Christmas globe.
Bauble. Christmas tree bauble.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I've never ever heard of someone calling it a globe.
Well, I do.
No, you're making it up.
Ask my parents what they'll call it.
No.
No, there you go.
I'll call them after this.
But you're too scared to call the fucking pizza man there.
I don't do phone calls. If you've ever tried to call me, best believe I ain't answering. It's not personal. I don't take phone calls, which doesn't help when all my mental health nurses try and call me.
And send you paper.
Send me paperwork. The one thing I say I struggle with is paperwork. Oh, here's a pack of 300 things you have to fill out. Yeah, listen here. I ain't getting that done. I ain't getting that done, babes. It's not happening. It's just going to sit there. And it does. It sits there and stares at me to this day. I still think it's just sitting there, dried out pen and all.
No, I checked it in the bin yesterday.
Oh.
Because you're getting a new one. But yeah, anyway, so our relationship.
Yes.
We met in Luton. Yeah, it was a bit, I mean, at that point, I'd never gone out on Luton, so I had no idea what it was like.
But like the thing is, back then, it was a very different town and like everyone was out, everyone was out. We went to Off the Wall or Yatesy's, as everyone knew before it was Off the Wall. I took him on his first night out there and he was completely sober when we got there, by the way.
Yeah.
Which was funny because we were like blackout. And we're dancing, we're having a good time. We see everyone else I know, some clients and everything, and everyone's just going up to him and he's so awkward, so fucking awkward. Everyone's like, so when have you been speaking? Like asking him all these questions, you know, the typical thing. And he's just there like, oh no. And then he just starts necking beers and he's going for it, getting them down. we're dancing. And then you took me into the booth.
Yeah.
To sit down.
Yeah, because you had a cramp.
Yeah. I had a cramp, which I used to get all the time when I was clubbing, because obviously I didn't drink enough water and I was dancing all night. And we were sitting there, and he thought the right time to do a first kiss was enough the wall.
Was there and then?
Drunk, whilst I'm having a cramp in my leg.
Listen, I came all the way to Leuven, and you think I'm going home without getting a kiss or something? Then yeah.
Very true. Very there true. You go.
I put in effort.
Put in that grind.
Exactly. I put in that grind. Ooh, I had to.
19-year-old Sebi.
I had to stand there and dance with you whilst there was like a bunch of weird men just standing against the wall. Like, that's
there's
just,
always, in the club, literally it's the just name always off the just weird men staring at you.
Mm.
And like, as a girl, it's the worst thing. Like, you come out the toilets and then there's just eyes, and then you can't even get onto the dance floor because they close round the dance floor and just circle in on young girls.
I'm convinced they literally do that just so you can walk past them and brush up on them.
100%. They love brushing. Like, there won't be, it won't be that tight of a space, but they're like close up to you going, sorry, sorry. Mm, they don't even say sorry, actually. They just go past. Oh, I do not miss them days at all.
But yeah, anyway, we're going off on a tangent again. So yeah, we started dating, and that was... basically for our summer 2019. And then.
But then, like, the next weekend or that weekend, you went to Romania.
Yeah, for, like, I think a it month. Was like. Yeah, it was a month, yeah.
Yeah, you went. I literally. We met, first kiss, and then I'm pretty certain that weekend.
Yeah.
Because I went on, like, a Thursday to Asco, I'm pretty certain.
Yeah, and then. Yeah, because then I went to Romania, came back.
Yeah, you went on a Sunday because you picked me up.
And then you went on your cruise, didn't it?
Yes, I went on a cruise, but that was in August. Yeah. So yeah, it was like a month. Oh, it was literally as soon as you go back. So we were literally we were still in the early stages. We weren't officially going out. We were still dating, like just seeing the waters and everything.
Basically,
yeah, just texting. Like, you know, sometimes there isn't a name on it, but we kind of knew-ish. We were still drawn to each other, like constantly. We just got on really well. And that's why for the first year, I genuinely thought, could we end up just being friends? Because we do get on really well. Our chemistry is amazing. We have a lot to talk about, obviously.
Clearly, yeah.
Why we're here. But we love the same. We have a lot of heart. There's a lot more layers to us that both of us have peeled back on each other. And that's why I think we were like, I'm going to see this through. I'm going to see where this goes. Both of us saw potential in each other and then just grew into love for each other. Kind of happened. Obviously, I'm going way ahead there, but we then, after the holidays and everything, we went to Dublin for my birthday.
We did, yeah. We
did. I forgot about that at first. Went to Dublin, and I think it was awkward. It was one of them ones where we were still... I still had my wall up with you, and I just wasn't... I look back, and I feel so bad for how... I just didn't give you the time of day like I do now. Obviously, it's the past. You can't really do anything. But I really did not give you the time and energy needed or give you the chance to woo me.
Should do better.
I'm being honest here.
I was joking earlier, by the way. It's not a safe space.
Oh, yeah. I've learned that now. Yeah. But yeah, like when we did go to Dublin, like... It was that kind of thing. And I think we even said on the last day, I was like, I don't know if this is going to work.
Yeah.
And although we had good times, we realized, like, for instance, I wanted to party. Yeah. Like, I wanted to go whoop, whoop, party on. And you were like, I just want to sit down and see the local area.
Sure. Well, yeah, like, but this is where you and I were so different.
But we went to Dublin.
Yep, I know.
For my, like... 20th or something.
Yeah, I get that. And yeah, maybe we should have planned it slightly differently. But yeah, I mean, I don't understand this culture in British people. They're like, you go away and then you just drink or something. Like, just take some time.
You've definitely took me out of that. But obviously, well, especially the last couple of years, we've really drawn back, especially this year, on alcohol as well.
100%.
We don't drink half as much now. We don't like the way it makes us feel.
We don't drink 10% at all. What we did
before. We don't drink at all. If we do go out, we get piddled off of like 2 drinks.
Yeah. And then she's in bed by one.
Even then, we're being so strategic. We'll take anti-sickness. We'll take antihistamines. Yeah. Like,
that's more you though, because you have reactions.
So I have reactions. I'm allergic.
I just feel like shit the next day. I don't like the feeling. So.
I hate the anxiety. Yeah. That's the thing I don't like.
Yeah.
But then back then, I never used to get it. I'd just wake up fresh as a daisy, like ready to go out. Yeah, I would. But I didn't have a problem. I was just a kid. Don't make it sound like I was an alcoholic.
No, you're not. You weren't an alcoholic.
I like to party. Like,
I mean, yeah, I've done, was it in Spain, like 6 or 7 nights in a row? Well, I was fucking up. That killed me. But now I'll go out. I get to the place and I realize maybe I should have stayed home.
No, very true. But I was just thinking in my head, comparing Dublin, where we didn't really drink, but then when we've gone to like Tenerife and I took you to your first drag show. Oh, this is going off topic here, but
I threw up in the shower.
I don't give it away. I took him to his first drag show and he was
which is great, by the way. It was great fun.
He loved it, but he didn't know what to expect. He really didn't know what to expect.
No, and they put me at the front as well. And I just got picked on the entire night. Yeah, because
you look like this, you're a bearded butch guy, like you built, and they're like, it's you. We're going to pick on you. And for what, 2-3 years in a row, they've picked on you every time we go. 2 years in a row. And they love it. And you love it. Like, it's so funny. But we get blackout drunk. Like, oh my God, if you've ever done Music Hall Tavern, they're in the Canary Islands. If you've not done it, do it. I love it. It's not everyone's cup of tea, but I love drag queens. I love the shows. I love the humor. It's amazing. But they give you like a full 3-course meal. Cocktails are huge and they're not expensive either. And you get like 1 or 2 for free, I'm pretty certain. Or I think it's just one.
I don't know which one.
But you end up just like going for it. And then we're there on the last one we did, which when it happened, I tried to sell you to them or something, didn't I?
Yeah.
You went out for a smoke and they were like, oh, we could just take him. And
no, that was the first one that we went to. That's when they said I was the pimp and then I brought out one of my girls with me. Yeah, and then that's when he tried selling me to them.
Yeah, I remember small snippets. I did black out. I was also very sunburned and I'm pretty certain sunstroke as well.
You always are, babe. Every single holiday you get sunstroke.
Yeah, because I just don't know how to quit the sun. I love the sun so much. I miss it.
Just not the wind.
No, I hate wind. I hate the wind. Cape Verde, you just fly away. But anyways, yeah, we went to Dublin for our first trip. we just didn't know where we were going to go. And then, as you said, like, we got into Christmas. I think we got kind of close-ish, but distant at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't spend Christmas together.
No.
We did spend New Year's Eve together when I threw up outside your house. Because I had that cheeseburger when I was driving down to yours.
Yeah.
Because I stayed at yours that night.
That was quite funny.
And then I had that cheeseburger. And
that gave me the ick slightly, but
I mean, listen, I was just...
Now I laugh, but back then it gave me the ick. It was quite funny.
Do you want me to say how it is?
What?
You still went home with me, so...
Shut up. Wait, what did we do for that New Year's?
We went to Pete's, didn't we? And then we tried to go out in town, but then it wasn't actually that good.
Oh, yeah, like everywhere in town was like shut or something. Well, so
to me saying town to fucking Luton.
Oh, yeah, and then you came back to mine, no?
Yeah.
And then that feels like ages ago. And then, as we said about the last, I did my other lash course and then COVID. We moved in together and then, the relationship definitely went through. Again, it's ups and lows. We still didn't really know what we were. We were together at that point, but we didn't really know. You just gave me that safe space to go to. It was a very awkward time. There was such an awkward air around us for a while.
Well, yeah, because I just took it to my place and I was like, all right.
Yeah. And then again, his parents at that time, you know, his dad spoke to me, but we were still getting to know each other. And his mum, she was, you know, scared she'd say something wrong in English. I was scared. Well, I'm still scared that I'll say something wrong in Romanian. But yeah, it was definitely a weird going from a really British home into a Romanian home. Yeah. And then staying in a room, as we said, smaller than this. We were on top of each other. Most people we know didn't make it out.
Not in a good way. all the time.
No, sure. Not all the time. But cheeky. But most of the time we were just on top of, each other. You just throw me right off there. Laughing. I know. But we had no personal space is what I'm getting at. Yeah. And you were still working at the time.
Yeah, I still had to work at the time.
Yeah, you were still working, which was okay. But my routine ended up being where I woke up the middle of the day.
Played Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I was in bed all day, every day. I was in such a low, such a bad depression. I don't even know how to voice what I was feeling, what was going on, because there was so much of it. And yeah. I could talk for hours, you know, and I think we'll come back to it multiple times over the pod, and because it was such a big part of my life, COVID. And it was for everyone. Mm-hmm. It was for everyone. They either had a really good time. Majority of people I know loved it because it was sunny, or it was really shitty. And it was shitty for me. It was the worst time. I was in the middle of uni as well. I was self-employed. I just quit my job the month before. I went self-employed. And then now I'm living in a Romanian guy's house. And it was the weirdest thing. It was literally, 2 months of chaos. And then, yeah, once we got into it, we found a routine. I started we would have a lot of conversations. We constantly talking, constantly learning about each other. You know, no one lives like that all the time.
No, it's like a fucking crash course and getting to know each other, isn't it?
Yeah, now of the outside world and how it is, I find it difficult to learn each other the way we do. We've learned each other because of COVID. Mm. I don't think we would have been in the relationship, if I'm being honest. And we've both said that before.
Mm. Yeah.
That kind of, we literally both just was like, that's it.
Yeah, but then
and became attached to each other almost.
Yeah, but you see, the reality is if you hadn't sort of got used to, if you hadn't got to know what you are truly like on the inside as a, you know, more of a homebody, you like a small circle and stuff like that, we probably would have been together because I wouldn't have been able to cope with you, always going out, to be always doing something. And it's just, fast forward to today. I like to enjoy my money. I'll pay rent for that money.
We're not saying we don't go out anymore and that I've fully stopped going, but I realized I was doing it to escape stuff and that it was unhealthy for me because I would do the things that I wouldn't want to do. I would do things, you know, when you're living in a trauma response, sometimes you go to the bad side. So for instance, before we started dating, I would always go for the boys that you know you shouldn't. I would always spend all of my paycheck on whatever that night. I would pay for other people. I would, you know, I wanted to live that exciting lifestyle because that brought me so much joy. Mm. But I realized by the end of the next day, it's gone. That joy is gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas now I learned to enjoy my life without thinking it relies on me going out and socialize. You know, half the people that I used to club with all the time, I have not, since the day I stopped going out, you don't hear from them. Mm. You realize the people, you know, they're not always your friends. You're just constantly out clubbing and constantly out. And you realize, I don't even know these people like that. They don't know anything about me. You're just constantly out.
Yeah. And then you have that one thing in common, but then it's not, I mean, look, some people are happy to go out every single night. Fair play to them.
Who we are. It's just, you outgrow it. And it's something that, again, we're going to keep going on. It's the changes. It's the growth. It's okay to switch things up. It will feel weird at first. Like the amount of FOMO I used to get. I used to cry, didn't I?
Yeah,
I get really bad FOMO. I don't really get it anymore, at all, unless it's about holidays, for instance. I love my bloody holiday. But these days I'm just I'd rather be at home. I'd rather be comfy, cozy. I can sit there and draw on my iPad, or if I go out, I go for a nice meal, or if I do go for drinks, it's for a reason.
Mm.
It doesn't mean we don't have sporadic times out or anything.
Absolutely. We still have times out and we still go out.
We love our times out.
But it's just now we're a bit more. I saw this funny meme the other day. It was like, if you're trying to invite me to anything, I need to know some details, you know? What's the food situation?
No, 100%.
What's the parking situation? Am I need
can't
to get attached
be
or?
As I'll just be there and not know who's going to be there. And again, I don't understand how I was like that, because the amount of anxiety I have meeting new people, going to weird places.
Yeah, but I feel like when you're young, it's a little bit, because you're, I mean, the saying, you know, young and stupid sometimes, we used to be like that.
And, but I used to like the not knowing if something bad was happening. And it sounds so stupid, I know. But it's because I'd be like, at least something's going to happen. That it's, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I know other people probably feel it too. But I used to just do things and then not think of the consequences as much. It wasn't like I was a bad kid. It was the fact that I needed some, I needed to feel. I was so numb. I didn't feel things. So I needed the adrenaline. I needed the, you know, again, why I would go back to certain people in my life is that adrenaline. I know I shouldn't be with them. I know they're very bad people.
Yeah.
We've all, you know, you go for the love bombing and all that. I see it clear as day now, but back then I was like, oh my God, they love me. Oh my God, they treat me nice for 2 minutes. Like, it's so crazy what we used to do in our youth, and you learn as you get older. Well, you hope people learn that, no, you were doing it for X, Y, Z, and now you can learn from it and do better. You know, I ended up in a very different relationship to what I thought I'd ever be in, a very stable relationship. Most of the time you kind of forget you're together because you're just best mates going through life, just chilling, you know, like that's the way it should be. It should be that you're just with someone that you could just, I will say anything in front of him and he would not judge me at all.
Well,
most of the time. But like, you could just be authentically yourself. I'd never worry if I, you know, I don't know anything. Anything I'd worry about. Anything at all.
And there's not much that I wouldn't tell
like,
you.
Like, everything but number two in front of you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people I know that do number twos with each other.
That's disgusting.
Send pictures back and forth to each other. That's all right. But me and you, we'll leave that for now.
I'd never want to...
Unless there's an emergency, I'm not sending you a picture.
I refuse to believe that that's an activity.
We'll talk about it, though. We'll talk about our bowel movements. That's something we'll talk about.
Are we?
Let's talk about it. No. But we'll talk about that. We'll fight in front of each other. We'll talk about literally anything. We have had the deepest of conversations in some living rooms. We've had the deepest conversations. Yeah, we've had some deep convos. And I think now we've basically trauma bonded to each other. No.
It's not trauma bond.
No. But we're very good for each other. And as I said, it's definitely better to what I used to be like as a kid and sporadic. Blah, blah, blah. Can't speak English. Sporadicness of how I used to just go, okay, I'll go here, okay, I'll go here, and then sometimes it would be
spontaneous. You mean
sporadic, spontaneous, same thing, different shape. It's late. I'm tired. I haven't eaten. I'm getting over a cold. I have brain fog. Okay, I'm just a girl. I'm just a girl. I'm trying not to think.
If you ever wondered what it's like living with her,
I have no idea what I'm talking about half the time.
But anyway, we went from, well, meeting, how we met, and then moved on to COVID, and then moved on to after. So how's it been? Should we tell them how it's been since we moved in together?
I mean, the day we moved in, it was your family there, and that speaks volumes when it's just his side of the family there. Yeah, you know, it was a difficult one. I think a very hard day for me. I think instantly when we got the keys, I was very on edge and you were excited.
You were very emotional because
you were happy, but I was there going, oh shit.
I wasn't happy. I was thinking, fucking hell, now I've got to move everything.
Yeah, but you weren't in the same mindset as me. I cried. I sat on the floor and I just broke down randomly, didn't I? I was like irritated with you and about something stupid, which it usually happens when I'm about to have a breakdown.
Breathing or some shit.
Yeah. Like, I will say something and now you know that, okay, there's a bigger issue here. And I don't mean it. And obviously I'm working on it, but then I'll just go, oh, and then it will be about something totally different, you know, burnt toast theory and all that. That one little thing will push me over the edge. And because I kept so much in and we finally got the keys and it was such a difficult journey, broke down. And I think that was the start of our relationship really getting stronger from there, because the moving in and the first year was so good, so good. I'm not going to lie, it was one of the highlights of my life.
Apart from that time when we had to go to IKEA and we were both hungover.
That was the worst time of my life.
Do you remember the first meal that we had in the new place?
Yes, we had Thai food.
Yeah.
We had Thai food. We had our little armchairs. We didn't have a sofa at the time.
Yeah, we had the little foldable £10 Tesco chairs.
Because we didn't have any... We don't have money like that.
No,
like
no, we had the bedroom. The bedroom was
yeah,
was
the bedroom
fully done
was set because I brought all of it beforehand, and then you had all your stuff and everything. But we had nothing else. We had all kitchen. Kitchen was sorted because we slowly brought stuff before we knew we were moving.
Yeah, and then my parents gifted us some.
Yes, I'm very grateful and thankful for that.
And all that stuff.
Yeah, and we stole some stuff from your mum, but it's okay.
Yeah, we did steal some glasses and stuff.
But like, with everything else in our living room, like even now, like if you see it, we haven't really bothered to decorate. Like me and you are such simple people that it's just
more than you are.
No, but it's just like somewhere to live. It's still homey, but we've slowly upgrading each piece of it. We're trying. We're not one of the people that are like, we have to have everything new and it has to look good all the time. We're young. We don't have money to spend on stuff like that. We had a £90 sofa from Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, it was. And then pretty much everything.
And that sofa went through so much as well with us. Like, I loved that sofa. As much as I hated that sofa because it was ugly and smell and all this.
Yeah, I mean, we still sold it. So
yeah, for what, 30 quid?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I was a bit more concerned that people are going to come back and rob our garage, but...
Very true. Yeah. Anyways, we're going on. But we moved in. It was all fabulous. Like, it was going really well. And we went through some hard things together, I would say, socially. Socially, we went through some hard stuff, you know. We both lost very close people to us. Not in that way. They decided to just cut us off as soon as we moved in. And then we still think about it. We go back to it every day going, what did we do?
Yeah.
What did we do? Nothing.
Probably just moved away.
I mean, yeah.
We
moved.
You moved to literally 20 minutes down the road. I moved half an hour up the road.
100%.
Not even
but
that
it,
much.
It made no sense to us, and we still look back because we're not really them people. We like to learn. So we like to know why, especially myself. I like to know why so I can learn.
Yeah, you do.
You know, that is one of the things. I'm going to ask a lot of questions. I want to know why. I want to know how. And
yeah, sometimes you're like one of those kids that just ask why.
Yeah.
Like, why is that door open? I don't know.
But I've only got more comfortable these days saying why more, which we talked about the other day, is because I realised that I was told to shut up when I asked questions a lot as a kid, and now I'm so much more comfortable with you. I just ask you why all the time and ask you so many questions because I find comfort.
Yeah, I sit there and fucking responds to all of them.
Yeah, and you just sit there and you deal with it, and I appreciate that so much. But the thing is, I hope you're okay with it.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
Don't mind it.
No, absolutely I'm fine with it. It's just that sometimes I turn around to you and then you're not like, you're asking why, but you're not really
not
like
paying
attention. You don't
sometimes
know why.
Sometimes I
you're
just ask
why,
and I just don't know, and I'm just there. Like, yeah. I don't understand. But yeah, with them, we realized, I think it was just, we went a different way in life. We went on to the next step. We stepped away from the partying, didn't we? We stepped away, we went into home life, and then we couldn't go out. We didn't have the bloody money. We didn't have anything. We went out every so often, but we rationed it. Yeah, for too long. We you know, everyone knows as soon as you move in, you kind of...
You only have money for the deposit and that's it.
Yeah, and a takeaway. That's about it. That's all we could manage. We went through a big thing where we ended up getting closer because of that as well, where we end up going, oh, okay, another change in our life, you know, losing people we've known for a very long time around us. And we had to learn how to... Who can we talk to about certain things? We went to each other. And that's probably why we ended up bettering our relationship, because we worked on our friendship side of it as well. Because you have to work on all elements in your relationship. It's not just the lovey-dovey. You need to have a friendship. You need to have a bond, something where you're just like, you can have fun and play around with and then not be so serious all the time, you know? Like, we've grown a lot in that part. And I think I've understood more, because my idea of relationships has always been a random thing. You know, I think it's either like TV or it's like Shameless. yeah, it's like either like the movies and Pretty Woman and stuff like that. And
Pretty Woman.
Rom-coms and...
Yeah, but it's never like that.
But I didn't know. I didn't know.
Yeah, I know.
But this is the thing where I look back on my life in different relationships, and the reason why I reacted certain ways is because I didn't know. I never had that good relationship to look back on to then go, you know, this is how I should react in this situation, or this is how normal people relationships communicate, should communicate, my parents.
Not always the case.
You know, yelling was a form of communication. And we've learned, especially as years have gone by, and I've worked on a lot. I don't yell out of anger. I yell to be heard because in a home of yelling, you're the loudest one, you know? And sometimes you'll be like, why are you raising your voice? I don't mean it. It's so unintentional. And I've become a lot more quiet, I think.
Yeah, you have. I mean, you still got your moments when you're like, for no reason, speaking as if I'm on the other side of the planet. But
it's them sudden rage moments. And that's, again, circle back round to why I'm going into finally getting that secure diagnosis, not being told you have 10 different things and just work it out. I need a secure, I want to know exactly what, not that it's blaming on it, but I know a lot of it is to do with obviously childhood and trauma and stuff, but you have the other side of it where we've always known I do function differently and I need to learn which way I can help myself to then do better, to then not take stuff out on you and, you know, affect the relationship, just all over, socially, like friend, like work, all over. I need to better myself to do better, to be a better fit in society. Because right now I feel like an alien all the time. I have no idea. I know how to make myself look how people want and sometimes communicate that way. But when I get into them high emotions, the highs and lows, I can't, I find it so difficult to control. If it's a bad thing, it's the end of the world. If it's a good thing, oh my God, it will never be this good again. Pablo's bedtime.
It is.
It's Pablo's bedtime, guys. He's all right. He's safe. He's at home. Don't worry about it. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? When it comes to how I react, sometimes I can't help it. But you're very understanding of that.
Yeah. I mean, I had to learn over time because, yeah, in the beginning, you did piss me off when you'd always raise your voice. Because, like, yeah, I mean, there's no reason. You know me, I'm always quite neutral in that sense. I don't often.
But it works well. It works well in calming me because you never raise your voice back.
No.
And that took me by surprise. How many times I stand there and I'm like waiting. And it's a thing everyone does. I know a lot of people do this. I can't say everyone. But where you do want someone to fight back. And sometimes I've learned as well the way I would get that serotonin and that sort of adrenaline is sometimes from fights. So sometimes if I was actually
weirdest way to me,
but it wasn't on purpose. It was subconsciously my body was trying to find something to keep me. It gives me that, like, let's say sugar rush, gives me that adrenaline jump, doesn't it? It gives me that like thing. I zoned out completely.
No, I get that. It's just, I mean, look, we have different ways of communicating.
Yeah, I just especially definitely...
especially in an argument, because yeah, I'm a lot more calmer. I always try to fix it right there and then, but you're not up to that. You're not up for that.
No, lot of the times as well, it depends on the actual thing. You can't say, it really depends on the situation at hand. Like, I don't even know what to say, for instance, of, because we don't really have fights in that way. It's mostly based around food.
That's
why it is literally making something out of nothing.
It's the most frustrating.
That can end up in a fist fight. That can end up, you know.
In a fist fight? I've always said that you'll probably end up stabbing me.
No, this isn't the time and place. He thinks I'm going to stab him. I don't know what energy I give off, but clearly it's chaotic. Have I not changed that much in that many years?
Yeah, you've changed. You've changed.
No, I did. From the first time. All right.
Excuse me.
From the first time we got together till now, how much have you seen change?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, your patience, your attention to some things.
Which says a lot as a lash tech. I should have these skills.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, in your social skills, right? Just like to work, you apply different skill set.
You see me switch, don't you? You've mentioned it. Or you just like...
Slightly different, Jasmine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so you're a bit more... You don't feel the need to please people all the time or to go out of your way to engage with someone. Or yeah, you're just happy to sit down and enjoy the... Whatever that might be. And you've noticed that, for example, when we go for barbecues at my cousin's, like... Yeah, in the beginning, you were a bit more like, oh, what do I do? Do I need to talk to him? I said, no, just go and just sit there.
Yeah, but this is the thing. When my parents, we would go to these places, it was always these things. Obviously, I'm still respectful now, but I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
Because I'm not forced. Like, you have to go and say hi and hug every single person. I don't like hugs. I don't do...
I know that.
Like, I've never, as a kid, introducing myself, it'd be like, hi. Like, you know, it was awkward and you get these loud aunties and, like, friends my mum knew that were, like, drunk and you'd introduce yourself to. It was scary,
that's
you know?
That's my biggest fear.
And then, like, going into yours and they're just like, hi. And I'm like, hi. Obviously, I still get some hugs, which is fine. I'm used to it now.
Yeah, but that's just the family and the way they are.
Yeah, that's just love. But, you know, if I voiced that it was an issue, they would definitely...
Yeah, they want to hug you.
Yeah. But yeah, that's like one of the definitely biggest things I've learned is just being comfortable and how I should be comfortable with family. I've never been comfortable around family like that. You know, that's never been something in my head. But now you've said it, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm literally just comfortable.
Yeah.
It took me 5 years to get comfortable.
There you go.
Yeah.
Breakthrough.
A big breakthrough for me. But no, 100%. It is a good thing. I'm very, very proud of how far I've come in my healing, my growing, my just knowing me better, learning new ways to react, getting rid of old ways that weren't good ways that were shown to me as a child. Because, you know, you're a reflection of your environment. And that's, yeah, definitely some bad reflections there that I'm still tweaking. And unfortunately, we're never going to be perfect. But here we are. But yeah. End of long story short, we've moved in and we've still been together. So I think we're doing well. Two and a bit years in. And yeah, we do well this year, even though it has been some lows. I think we've come out the other side and there's a lot of love.
Yeah.
There is a lot of, it's a deeper love once you get to this far in a relationship. And some people it comes earlier, but I think it's just like, yeah, I'm home, you know, I'm comfy.
Yeah.
There's love.
It is the comfortable place that you know. It's what you know. Then, yeah, it's growing from there. But I think we are approaching towards the end, so should we do the MIDR song?
Go on, then.
Cool. So from time to time, we will go through a scenario that I was able to find on Reddit and give our opinion on it. So this one... It's a bit of a long one, but I'll try and shorten it as much as possible. But the question is, am I the arsehole for not letting my sister's kids use my toy room? So I, 34
what type
male,
of toy room?
Well, I'll get into it and then you'll find out. You. Back to it. So I, 34 male, I am child free and have been my entire life. I've always loved hobbies like building Lego sets, collecting action figures, and even some light gaming. Over the years, I've turned one of my rooms in my house into a toy room, which is essentially my personal space, filled with collectibles, intricate Lego models, a few rare items I've spent a lot of time and money acquiring. My sister, 38 female, has 3 kids. She's always known I'm into this stuff and never seemed to care until recently when her family came over for a visit. Her youngest son, 5-year-old, saw the room whilst I was showing my brother-in-law around the house. And he immediately got excited. He asked if he could go in and play. I gently told him that the room wasn't for playing and I'd be happy to set him up with some toys in the living room instead. This didn't go so well with my sister. She said I was being ridiculous and that I should let kids be kids and enjoy themselves. I stood firm and explained that many of the items in the room were fragile, expensive, or even had sentimental value. Her kids were disappointed. She accused me of being selfish and not understanding how to be part of a family. She's since brought it up multiple times, saying I'm hoarding toys from actual children and making her feel unwelcome. To be clear, I love my niece and nephews. I've always gotten them gifts for their birthdays and played with them when they visit, but I see my collection as more of a hobby or an art display than something for kids to handle. It's not like I have a house full of toys and I'm refusing to share. It's simply that I've dedicated the time and funds to build the room. My parents are split on the issue. My mum thinks I could have compromised by supervising kids in the room, but my dad sides with me, saying it's my house and my rules. So, am I the arsehole for not letting my sister's kids play in my toy room? What do you think?
Straight up, I don't think you're an arsehole. I don't.
No, it's, not one bit.
Obviously, we don't have kids.
No.
Pablo.
Well, yeah. But
Pablo
then,
doesn't touch our Legos because Pablo knows that's not for him to touch.
Exactly. That's
he
not
has
his
own toys. So I'm going off of that and going, They're fucking expensive.
Yeah.
They're so fucking expensive. Honestly, they, we have a big Ghostbusters one. It's fucking huge. I still want that, but that is worth a lot of money.
100%. And then we have the motorbike. We have all the little cars as well. Like, we've got loads of things. And yeah, probably not as much as this guy has. But
if there was a kid to come round, even if it's like friend, family and that,
I wouldn't let them touch it.
I would politely ask for them to not touch it, because most of them fall apart even if you move them slightly.
I mean, yeah, more or less. But
then, it's dangerous as well. It's like a choking hazard. How old were the kids?
Like the five-year-old or something like that?
Yeah, five-year-old. I'm sorry, but they're going to put it in their mouth.
Yeah, or up their nose or some shit. I have no clue. It's the same as like, let's say someone coming around and asking to like play my PC, for example. I'm like, I've spent a lot of fucking money on that.
That is very expensive. I would not allow some snotty nose
Or it's literally like your little brother. Obviously, I'm the younger brother here, so I'm kind of
You're the one who was wrecking everything.
Yeah, basically.
Exactly. But you're the one.
It's like, and my brother will tell you, like, yeah, he had a lot of nice things, or like Hot Wheel cars.
Well, I flushed my brother's Game Boy down the toilet, so don't worry about it.
Well, all right, that's a bit fucking deep, but all right. I meant more like, you know, break a door of a car or something like that.
But
I don't think he's an arsehole. Absolutely. And the sister, she should know better. Because
she should. I think that's just being like, oh, like we'll take him round and he's got these toys and we'll go and play in them. No, it's not his job. He said he brought toys, no?
Yeah, he
brought
said, them toys, I would have been happy to set them up in the living room or some stuff.
He'll probably buy, and he probably has brought different Legos and kid Legos and things like
that.
Yeah,
for them to, like for their birthdays and Christmas. But that's his specific stuff,
and no means no. At the end of the day, how would she feel if the kids went into, let's say, I know this is extremely sexist, like the makeup or things like that? It's very expensive. Yeah. We spend ages collecting these items.
Yeah.
And if you do let a five-year-old in it, or
your niece just putting your £200 blush on her face.
Like, £200, jeez.
I mean, I don't know how expensive makeup is, though. No, thank you.
But, you know, it's true. Like, I just wouldn't let them. It's just a personal thing. I understand there's going to be a lot of people that go, they're only young, and let them enjoy themselves. But, it's like, learn boundaries at the same time.
Yeah.
I never touched certain stuff because I knew it wasn't for me.
Hmm.
Like, I'd say let them go around and watch stuff, but you look with your eyes and not with your hands. Now, that is a trauma throwback from my mum.
Fucking hell, that's it. Whenever we go on holiday, and I just want to pick up this nice, I don't know, fucking ashtray that's in the shape
of a turtle.
She says, look with your eyes, not with your hands. And I'm like, but before I buy it, I need to check.
How many times have you dropped things in shops?
Not that many times. In India, a few times, because everything was fucking...
We were in this man's shop. He handmade everything, and he's there, Butterfingers, dropping all these wooden things that he's made on the floor. I'm like, how rude can you be?
You're exaggerating here a bit. I was simply trying to move for the space that the man created. Oh, your big
window hit it down, did it?
And then I just gently nudged something, and that was it. And then I have fucking Butterfingers.
No, right? You did the second time. You want to talk about
Butterfingers recently? Your fucking Butterfingers recently. Because you've dropped a lot of stuff.
But I've also had brain fog and been down, so we're not going to talk about that.
Listen, I was ill a week before you.
It's not a competition. And
apparently, I wasn't allowed to play games because I was too sick.
He was too sick. He's not allowed to play games when he's sick. You're making me sound like I don't let you game. You game whenever you want. Whenever you have time. But have I ever really restricted you? Don't joke. I can see a joke in your eyes. Don't do it because people will take it seriously. I do not stop you from gaming.
Well, you did last weekend when I was sick.
But you were sick, and I know you would end up getting a headache and be like, Jazz, my head hurts. Just going
for a nap.
Yeah, but the whole point is you want to get better.
Well, not really, because when you're sick as a man, let me tell you. When you're sick as a man, there's a slight, you know, half hour to 2 hour window in your sickness when you just want to kind of just curl up and just die for a moment, feel sorry for yourself. And then, you get back up and get better.
Got you. But yeah, I think it's time you go for a smoke.
Okay. It's time you forced me out for a smoke.
Yeah.
But, all right. I guess it's time for a smoke.
We'll catch you next time, guys.